I'll be reading from Jude, verses 11 and 12. Woe unto them, for they have gone in the way of Cain, and ran greedily after the heir of Balaam for reward, and perished in the gainslaying of Korah. These are spots in your feasts of charity, when they feast without you, feeding themselves without fear, they clouds they are without water, cared about the winds, trees whose fruit withereth without fruit, twice dead, plucked up by the roots.
In Genesis chapter 3, we have the root of sin. In Genesis chapter 4, we have the fruit of sin. Just how bad is sin? We find in Genesis 3 that man was not poisoned because of eating the fruit of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. But in the next chapter, we can see just how much really happened to man. By his disbelief, by his disobedience, he turned away from God and had sinned in such a way that he brought upon himself and his race God's judgment. My friends and brethren, you're given this same kind of nature. Adam has given us a pretty bad nature. And all this is revealed in the two sons of Adam and Eve. Now they had more children than this, but these two at this time are the only ones that is recorded. Maybe Adam and Eve did not believe that the struggle was going to be very long. Maybe they thought this was going to be one done and out. In Genesis 4 and verse 1, we read that Eve gave birth to Cain. And she said, I have gotten a man from the Lord. Now, I wonder if they thought that this was the bruise that God had mentioned in Genesis chapter 3. But we know that it wasn't, because this child would become a murderer. That he was no savior at all. That it would be thousands of years before that savior would come. But in Genesis chapter 4 and verses 2 and 3, it says, and as she again bare his brother Abel, and Abel was a keeper of the sheep, and Cain was a tiller of the ground. And in the process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought forth the fruit of the ground, an offering unto the Lord. It is these two men that we are going to look at this morning. Of Cain and Abel. But it brings forth the question, what is our attitude toward obedience to God? Do we try to do it by the book? Or do we think that we have the leeway to do as we please? Now, if we look a moment in verse 3, it says here, in the process of time, which actually means the original at the end of days, which would mean that it was the seventh day, the Sabbath day, the end of the day of the week. It was the day that God had rested. And it was this day that Cain brought forth an offering to God, to a place of worship. Now, who gave him this instruction? Was it man's instruction, or was it by revelation of God? They were told when. They were told where to bring the offerings to God. We know this by what Paul wrote in Hebrews 11 in verse 4, where it says here, by faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying on his gifts. And by it, he being dead yet speaks. How could Abel offer it by faith? Because Romans 10:17 tells us, so then by faith So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. God had given his word about this. He had given it to Abel, he had given it to Cain, as well as he had given it to Adam and Eve. But Cain did not come that way. He didn't come by the way of God's word. He brought forth the fruit of the ground. Brethren, I want to say here, there's nothing wrong with what he brought. It was the terms of the condition in which he brought it. This was probably the best of the best. What he brought, the fruits by which his hands had garnished it, would have probably have won a blue ribbon at any county fair. It would have probably been the fruits that the grocer puts on the top so that we see the best. When you flip over that pack of ham and it has that little place on there that says representative piece, and it's always the best piece that shows up in there. He brought the best. And he offered it to the Lord. But in verses 4 and 5, and it says of Cain and Abel, and Abel, he also brought the firstlings of his flock and the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering, but unto Cain and to his offering he had not respect. And Cain, it says, was very wroth. He was very angry. And his countenance fell. Now, you know, there are probably folks out there that probably didn't see anything wrong with what Cain had done. But if we want to see the seriousness of Cain's actions, we only have to go back to our scripture reading in verse 11, where it says that Christians, and that's who Jude is writing to, has gone the way of Cain. What is that way? When Cain brought his offering, he didn't do it by faith. He came on his own. His offering denied that man was separated from God. The very act that Adam and Eve committed in the garden separated us from God. He acted as if everything was okay. Sad to say, this is what liberalism brings today in talking about the universal fatherhood of God and the universal brotherhood of man. But things are not all right with us today. We are not born children of God. We have to be born again to become children of God. This is what Jesus taught us and said to Nicodemus in John chapter 3 and verses 5 and 6. Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Because of Adam and Eve, we've been separated from God. And Cain refused to recognize that, just as many today refuse to do. The third thing that Cain's offering denied was that man cannot offer works to God. But Cain felt that he could. In Titus chapter 3 and verse 5, Paul said, "Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us, by the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Ghost." The difference between Cain and Abel was not a character difference at all, but a difference in the offerings that they brought. These two men had the exact same background. They had the exact same heredity. They had the same environment. You cannot tell me that Cain got his bad disposition from an alcoholic grandfather on his father's side because he didn't have a grandfather. You can't tell me that Abel got his disposition from a tender, loving grandmother on his mother's side because they didn't have grandparents. They had the same heredity. They had the same environment. The difference, my friends, was in the offering. That offering makes a difference in men today. No Christian should ever take a position that they are better than anyone else. The thing that makes him a Christian is that he recognized that he had fallen short, that he needed a sacrifice, that he needed someone to take his place and die for him. In Romans 3 and verse 25, Paul said, "Whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood." It was there that Paul could further write in Romans 10 and verse 3, "For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness, and by going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God." Do you see Cain in that statement? In that verse? Establish their own righteousness? Do you see that in people today? They attempt through religion, joining a church, by doing something to try to make them acceptable of God and to God. But God's righteousness can only come to you. It can only come to you because it is a perfect righteousness through Christ who provided it to us. Paul wrote in Romans 4, verse 24, "Who was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification." Jesus Christ. In 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 21, it reads, "For he hath made him sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God." In Philippians 3 and verses 8 and 9, Paul said that I win Christ and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ. The righteousness of Cain was his own righteousness. The righteousness of Abel was faith in a sacrifice that looked forward to Christ's sacrifice. In Genesis 4 and verse 6 and 7, the Lord said unto Cain, "Why are you angry? Why is thy countenance fallen? If you do well, should you not be accepted? But if you do not do well, sin lies at the door, and unto you shall be his desire, and he shall rule over you." Why was Cain angry? Why was he so angry that he was going to kill his brother? Behind every premeditated murder, there is always anger. Always. In Matthew 5 and verses 21 and 22, Jesus had said that if you're angry with your brother without cause, that you are guilty of murder. Behind anger is jealousy. Behind jealousy is pride. There is no sense of sin in a spiritual pride. Pride in those things that are spiritual. Because we're doing everything that we can physically do in our own being to please God in a spiritual way, we should be prideful of that. And there is no sin in that. James, in James 1 verse 15, he puts it this way. "Then when lust has conceived, it brings forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, brings forth death." This is what Cain did. It brought forth death. His anger led to murder. But behind it all was jealousy and pride. That is how God deals with Cain. He says, if you do well, you will be accepted. You know, the eldest son always holds the place of preeminence. And maybe Cain thought that he was going to lose all of this. But God tells him there's no reason for him to lose anything if he does well. Do we realize, as Christians, how vulnerable we are to sin? Do we think that we can resist it all? That it will not affect us? It's obvious that Cain didn't realize just how vulnerable he was. When God told him that sin lies at the door, he was basically saying that it was like a wild beast sitting outside, just waiting for you to come out so it can pounce on you. All Cain had to do was to go back, get the sacrifice that was acceptable to God, and offer it. That's all. Take the fruits off of the altar that he had put there, gone to his brother Abel, and got him a sacrifice. Because you see, Abel's sacrifice was what he had raised. It was his. Cain just couldn't go and just take one. But giving the best that you have to get the best. John said of Cain's attitude in 1 John 3 and verse 12, not as Cain, who was of the wicked one, and slew his brother. And wherefore he slew him? Because his own works were evil, and his brother's was righteous. God gave Cain a way out, but he refused to take it. God has given man a way out of his disobedience, but even today, man still refuses to offer sacrifice acceptable to God. Genesis 4 and verses 8 and 9, it says, and Cain talked with his brother Abel. And it came to pass that when they were in the field, that Cain rose up against Abel, his brother, and slew him. And the Lord said to Cain, where is Abel, thy brother? And he said, I don't know. Am I my brother's keeper? Do you see what this answer proves? It proves that Cain had very little regard for his brother and God. That he was trying to cover his actions. He thought he'd done a good job of hiding things. Jesus said in Matthew 10 and verse 26 that there is nothing covered that shall not be revealed, and hid that shall not be known. Cain is trying to give the impression to God that he has no idea what God is talking about. Because he asks, am I my brother's keeper? How impudent is that? And then God says to him, he said, what have you done? The voice of your brother's blood cries to me from the ground. Paul uses this in Hebrews 12 and verse 24. He said, and to Jesus, the mediator of a new covenant, and to the sprinkling, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaks better things than that of Abel. It was Abel's blood that spoke of the murder committed. The blood of Christ speaks of redemption, and it speaks of salvation. God then announces his judgment to Cain, verses 11 and 12 of Genesis 4. And now thou art cursed from earth, which has opened her mouth to receive your brother's blood from your hand. When you till the ground, It shall not henceforth yield to you her strength. A fugitive and a vagabond, you shall be in the earth. If I go down Emily Lane, after I pass a certain spot, they're coming in one direction, there's no speed limit sign on that road. The speed limit's 35. If I'm doing 55 going down that road and a sheriff's deputy comes up behind me, he's going to stop me. And I could say, officer, there's no speed limit sign. Rest assured, I will leave Emily Lane either with a warning ticket or an $85 ticket in my hand. Because ignorance is not a case. Ignorance for man in God's judgment will not be a sound defense. Just as God told Adam and Eve what he requires, and no, you don't find it written in there. It's not written anywhere in Genesis 3 or 4 what was required. But it is quite obvious that something specific was handed down. Or else how would they have known to do this? There was a specific day in which this sacrifice was to be given. And also what was to be sacrificed. But no, they didn't have anything in writing to let them know what was a sin and what was not a sin. But that's not a game changer. If Cain had a lawyer, he would have lost his case anyway. Cain could never say, well, God, you never wrote it down. You didn't tell me it was wrong to kill my brother. Cain was going to pay for his crime. And they can't say, well, he didn't know he was wrong because he tried to cover it up. Do we not know, my friends, what is acceptable to God? You look at religion over the last 2,000 years. Since the Lord's church was established, how hard has man worked to change what God has delivered? He's killed for it. We've tried to change God's laws to mitigate our conscience, because His judgment is more than we can bear. Where do we see this? In the Lord's church today. We see it in the subject of marriage, divorce, and remarriage. We see this in instrumental music. Go back in the office and get out the directory of the Churches of Christ, and you have to go look at the index to see what they believe. They shouldn't even have all those little abbreviations in place. We should all be believing and doing the same thing. That's not the case. Because see, we want to do it our way. In verse 13, Cain said, my punishment is more than I can bear. And we think the same thing. But you know, to protect Cain, God placed a mark on him. So that someone else wouldn't kill him. Who else would kill him? Well, the only ones there was family members. They were all family. Because of Cain's sin, his face now is hidden from God. Because of our sins, man's face continues to be hidden from God. But for those who obeyed God's commands, we now have the same relationship that Abel has with God. The same relationship. an acceptable sacrifice, one that is pleasing to God. You know, for all we know, up to that horrible day, Cain did everything that was acceptable to God. When he fell hard. Because he was going to do what was acceptable in his sight, not God's. He expected God to accept it. And many today are expecting God to accept what they do. And when God wouldn't accept it, they got angry. And it led to murder. It makes you wonder that last great day when the Lord comes back, how many people are going to sit there at Judgment Day and say, "This is more than I can bear." Paul wrote in Romans 6 and verse 4, "Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in the newness of life." Brethren, we've been given the second chance. Just as God gave Cain the second chance. What are we going to do with that second chance? Paul in Romans 6 and verse 12, he said, "Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal bodies, that you should obey it in the lusts thereof." Unfortunately for Cain, he allowed sin to dominate him. And we can't make that same mistake. In Psalm 15 and verse 1, David wrote, "Lord, who shall abide in thy tabernacle? Who shall dwell in your holy hill?" The very next verse, he gives us the answer. "He that walks uprightly and works righteousness and speaks the truth in his heart, those are the ones who would dwell with the Lord forever." We cannot allow ourselves to let ourselves think that we know what the Lord wants. We need to know exactly what He wants and deliver that. We can't let a little Cain live in us. If you are not a child of God, there is a sacrifice that is required. We don't often look at it this way. That sacrifice is allowing the death of the old man, burying it in baptism, and allowing the new man to arise out of that grave. By repenting and confessing that Jesus is the Christ and being baptized to have your sins washed away, you can become that new man. The sacrifice is the old. Will you not consider it today? If you're a child of God, are you doing your will or God's will? Is the life you're living today, is it something that would relate better with Cain or with Abel? You have to think about that. We cannot go through our spiritual life doing what we want. We can only do what God desires and do that by faith. There is no fear of the judgment if you know with all your heart you're trying your very best to do what God requires. But if you're not, you have a lot to fear. Just as Cain, it will be more than you can bear. Trust me on that. If there's anyone that has a need this morning, we pray that you will come as together we stand and we sing.